The snow is on the ground. The ice is on the lakes. Obviously, we're a long way from getting into the fields. A good time to do some planting over and above deciding what kind of seed you're going to buy and fertilizer and things like that. Bridget Finke joins us once again. And Bridget, of course, with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area, and an attorney that does this kind of work, estate planning we're talking about, not planning how to buy your seed. You don't help them buy seed, do you?
I don't think you want me making those decisions.
Well, we got decisions that you can help us make, and maybe some decisions that are maybe easier is probably not the right word, but more beneficial long-term if we do it on a continual basis rather than all of a sudden now we've got to come up with some numbers. And we're talking about entity values, and as you go along, those entities change. So what are we talking about as far as what we can do each year in the planning session that goes a long way, that when we need to pull numbers together for the value of the operation, we've got them there already?
Right. So, I mean, you and I talk a lot about wills and trusts, but another piece of the planning puzzle, you know, there's a whole lot of farmers now that have business entities. And so when you have a business entity and you have other owners in there, so it's not just mom and dad's LLC, but, you know, maybe we've got mom and dad and daughter or a couple of brothers farming together. A lot of times we do what's called, what I call 4D planning: death, disability, divorce, disagreement. So we have, and the kind of the generic term for that, I usually say, is a buy-sell agreement. So if somebody wants or needs to get out, how do we go about that? And within those agreements, we have some sort of mechanism of how we come up with the value if somebody needs to get bought out. And a lot of those agreements that I see have the ability for everybody to sit down once a year and figure out what that value is and document that value. So if there's one of those triggering events, somebody dies, somebody gets disabled, whatever, you know, that agreement covers, you've already got that value set. Everybody knows exactly what number we're operating off of. Mm-hmm. And this is that time of year where people are updating their balance sheets with their bankers, they're getting their tax work done. Man, this is just the ideal time of year to really sit down and do that. And it's a piece of the puzzle I see missed a lot.
So as far as putting this piece of the puzzle in place so that we're updating this every year, does it take a separate document? Is it a separate entity, a separate form, or can we work off the ones we're already putting together?
Well, a lot of times we've got it. It's a one-page piece of paper in which we say, hey, we've sat down, here's the value, here's what it is per share, per unit, whatever the case may be, and all the owners sign. And so a lot of times there's a form attached right to the backside of their agreement that they can photocopy off, fill in the numbers each year, and sign. So it's a great thing to add for the corporations that have to have their annual meeting. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that's on the agenda every time. I mean, like, how many meetings have you and I sat in, right? You always got to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. Well, hey, one of those routine items on the agenda can be getting that value document.
With all the values that have to be documented, though, I mean, you alluded to it, land, livestock, machinery, all these things that have a value, is it automatically updated, or what kind of effort do we have to do to make sure that we're current?
Well, I will say that the trend I've seen is that your banker is real interested in making sure those values are current. And so it's much more routine that they're actually requiring from the lending side of things to get updated values. You know, I remember my dad walking around with the insurance man, right? And just verifying that what's on the insurance list was there.
You actually got that tractor in the shed.
or in the shop, as the case may be. Yeah. Now I'm seeing it more on the lending side of things that they're actually requiring full-blown appraisals of those various assets. And so at the very least, I love piggybacking on that. We've already paid to have the appraisal done, so now is the great time to document that value, to think about doing the big gift to the next generation. Once we paid for kind of that detailed documented valuation, let's get as much mileage out of it as we can, and we know we have to if the bank is requiring it, and so let's give that thing as much legs as we can.
So it's not illegal, again, I don't know if that's the right word, it's not illegal to piggyback different purposes from that document.
No, and we want to be reporting a consistent value on things, even if it's for different purposes. Mm-hmm. So that absolutely makes sense from my perspective.
And everybody that's going to be involved in this, I would think, would be okay with this because it is current, rather than now we got to go back, how much did Grandpa pay for the farm per acre, and now the valuation of the land has changed, and how much hoop we have to jump through to find how that's changed over the years.
Yeah, so I mean, I like this trend in the sense that otherwise I used to look at a lot of balance sheets that always listed that farm that Grandpa bought, it'd be in there at the cost value.
You're right.
Which is real important if we're going to sell, right? Because then that number matters because we got to pay tax on the difference between that number and what we sell it for. But in terms of transition planning, that kind of book value sort of analysis for me is really not helpful because it's not the true value of the assets, and it's not what Uncle Sam cares about for gift tax valuation, estate tax valuation. All of those things are looking at fair market value. Hey, if we went and sold this to the neighbor, what's it worth? Not what did Grandpa pay for it 30 years ago?
Yeah, and you don't want Uncle Sam coming in there helping you determine the value of something. You want to be able to do it yourself where it's a little more realistic because they don't understand what's going on the farm. They're tax people.
Well, and that's what's nice about doing this kind of on this consistent basis as well, because then you shouldn't have those swings. Everybody sort of knows the process about how we go about this every year, how we look at things. You know, some of those balance sheets sort of do a plug number for mm-hmm. for livestock values because, I mean, you know, I mean, that's why we got to listen to you, right? Listen to the markets and what are the sales today.
Yes.
But a lot of time, you know, sometimes it makes sense to have that in at a more consistent number that we know year to year and month to month that we're not going to have this huge artificial swing that just because all of a sudden, you know, now cows are selling for $2,500 a head and that's the day that somebody passed away, that now we don't have this artificially high value when we know really that's much too high.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the four D's, Bridget. Again, mm-hmm. Bridget Finke with us, attorney with the Valley Crossing Law Offices in Baldwin. But the four D's, I mean, is there... If one of the three happens, one of the four happens, can we go with this? I mean, how much do you put the same value on all four of those D's? I mean, death, disability, divorce, disagreement?
You sure can. Or sometimes we have different valuations depending on the reason. Mm-hmm. And so often...
I'm thinking basically about divorce. We hear about these prenups. Mm-hmm. We get something like that for a farm entity?
Well, kind of two sides of things. You can do planning at the marriage level,
right,
and that's the prenup side of it. And then you can do the planning at the business level.
So it is separate.
It's separate. And certainly we talk a lot about discounting and when and how and if we take discounts off that full fair market value. So if it's four brothers farming together and the farm's worth $1 million, you would say each guy's shares worth $250,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you only have 25% interest, it means you don't have say, you don't have control. So a lot of times we'll knock that number down. And there's a way of supporting that on the tax side of things that they're on board with that as well, that how that 250 really isn't 250. Maybe it's more like 200,
mm-hmm.
Which certainly helps us facilitate intra-family transitions, but without them being considered divestments or gifts if we ever get the nursing home involved. So there's a lot of finesse that goes into that whole process and sort of running through scenarios. You know, it's great sit here all theoretical, but it's often helpful. And a lot of times how people end up in my office is they saw something happen with a neighbor and say, we don't want that to happen to us. And so we can run through those scenarios.
And the good thing is the scenario, the laws, the rules are written so that there is that flexibility that we can do these things. And it's a lot better to do them before the fact than, as you said, after the fact.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times there's not much to be done after the fact, absent people coming to agreement. But sometimes, you know, one of those D's was disagreement. So we already know we're not agreeing. And like you say, even sometimes if the parties are in agreement, Uncle Sam might have something to say about that too. So being proactive, having the structure in place so we don't have these risks, right? We get insurance. We do a lot of things to protect against risks. And this is one of them, that everybody knows that there's a system in place as to what's going to happen if suddenly some guy shows up and says, you know what, this is too darn cold. I'm not milking cows this morning. Then what?
That's probably happening more than once, that's for sure. So again, entity value, figure out your entity value on a continuing basis is basically what we're telling folks.
Absolutely.
All right. And plan for the four D's because they do happen. Bridget Finke, how do we get a hold of you?
688-4045 or wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Very good. Bridget Finke with Valley Crossing Law, again, helping us tread the waters, so to speak, of the estate plans, entity values, the business side of agriculture.